sorry. The day is actually good. Because you are late to your center. And there is Olszewski. Teachers here in school, the seminaries. I don't know exactly which of the seminaries are here. It doesn't make a difference to me. Jewish girls are learning, they're growing. Pull their phone and the walls, all their walls they pray against. The greenness, so. So I want to talk to you about something very beautiful and also a little bit sad. But it's mostly beautiful. Right now we're in a time of Hashem's work. Reveals to us the nature of Kriyas Yam Suf, of Kriyas Yam Suf, of Kriyas Yam Suf. And every one of you knows that it says in the Pasuk, Zekeli Van Vey. Zekeli Van Vey. That means that Rashi says that every single man, woman, and child, even unborn fetus, is able to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, in such a clear way that they're able to point with their finger. It was so tangible, it was so much there in front of their eyes that they were able to say, Zekeli, this is my God. Zekeli. And you know the Chazal tells us that even a shivcha, even a simple maidservant, when crossing through the Yam, when crossing through the ocean, is able to see in a way that was even greater, or as great as in a Yam, as a Chesko. And then it wasn't much later. We came to Hasina. At Hasina, the Torah says, Atah Reisa L'Das. Atah Reisa L'Das means that the Baruch Shalom, Rashi brings down, that the Baruch Shalom opened up the Shiva Rekia and the seven layers of Shemayim of heaven. And again, Atah Reisa L'Das. That it was shown to us in such a clear way that Hashem who Elohim, that Hashem is God, at the race of God. And that's the beautiful part. But the sad reality is that even though for that moment in time, when we were crossing through the ocean, everything was clear, and we were seeing the Shiva. And the Shivcha, that simple nature, it was all of a sudden a Neviya. She had practice. She had great visions. But as the sun said, we know, but the next day she was back with her broom, with her mouth in her hand. And she was a simple shifter. She was a simple maidservant again. And not only that, everybody did notice that it wasn't long at all after that unbelievable experience and everything was open before our eyes. It wasn't long until we began to complain, but he argued with Simon. He had all kinds of complaints and times, and we were bickering and fighting. So there was that experience of crossing through the ocean. So everything was so beautiful and so real and so clear, but then it ended. as quickly as it came. And what was left of it? What was left? Mount Sinai, unbelievable, the revelation of Mount Sinai. We never ever had before or after such an unbelievable thing like Mount Sinai. And we saw Hashem on the thing. Because all of our misery in life is that it's not clear to us. And then it was clear to us. But then, in such a short time, there was the Chet HaEgel. We sinned with the golden calf. We descended from that place, the great exalted place. So it seems that this is very much a part of life. And every one of you has felt it. And a person who is sensitive and who is thinking begins to wonder sometimes, what's the tachlis? What's the tachlis? Yeah, everybody, my wife and I was able to have a few months in there to sell the board from the shul. And everybody I speak to is saying, you know, I speak on the phone, I met some chagi here, I already was so recharged and you were so refreshed. And, you know, they're all expecting me to come back with all kinds of courages. And I know that by the middle of the third day I'm back, I'm going to be a clap and a heart, which is in English, I don't know how you say it. Overwhelmed. Stressed out. And what will have been of the 3 months in Yerushalayim, all Yishev Rav, all the Yerushalayim? But it's much deeper than that. Those of you who are sensitive and are thinking, it's already the middle of the year. Soon as it's going to be Sulusha, Kurm, maybe you will have a place up in space, whatever. And you begin to wonder, like, what's going to be of all of this? There's certain friendships that you're finding over the year. There's certain connections with teachers, the learning, the davening, the shams, the being there to sow. So you have that time where it's like your Kriya Yamsuf, you know? It's like your Kriya Yamsuf. It's like you might not have seen it. But then the next day, the shift of the night servant was a night servant. She had her moment in the sun of glory. But she can't sustain that. She doesn't continue living that way. You know, little kids in school or at the end of camp, we have one of Hashem's six daughters. So the pickup from camp, because we were always in the country in the summer, so we got the car to pick up the girls. And the girls started crying to each other, writing notes and saying goodbye. I'll never forget you. I'll never forget you. My closest friend, my best friend. And you know, while I'm sitting in the car watching this crying and all these warm kisses and hugging, I know that this is enough. It doesn't last. Maybe sometimes. For the most part, if the case comes to the ship, it's a ship. So a person begins to wonder what's the tachlis. Have children, and have their own children now. And one of the cutest things that happened is we took some of the kids some years ago to Disneyland or Disney World, I don't know which one is which. We were in California. So we went to Disneyland. Is that right? Okay. So we went to Disneyland and there are more lines, you know? Because our kids just, our married children just, like our grandchildren just tested their pictures. And we took the kids to Disneyland. It means the younger children went to Disneyland. And you have to wait long and all of the lines. And it was very getting late. My wife and I were exhausted. And then there was this one place where you go and you can meet like a live princess. And my wife and I felt that this time we could really must like head home. Went on a million rides with kids, we went to every single like pavilion. You might have found a princess, you know. Time to go. we had at that time, I don't know how old they were, something like 17, 15, the little one, I don't know the ages, I don't know why this issue. She knows the ages, but it was such a sweet thing, because we had our older one, we had the little one into the baby, and the older one was hesitating, and she was sort of saying, I think that Chippy, that little one, really, really wants to see the princess, but in the end it came out that our like 70-year-old wanted to see the princess. Honey wanted to see the princess. And I said, you know, honey, I feel bad telling you this, lady. She's not going to be a princess or anything. She's just like some girl. Got a job. Isn't it? She could have been a cashier. She's got a job. They put an outfit on her. She looks like a princess. She's not a princess or anything like that. But I don't know where they're going. It's not worthy. It's just sounding. You know? So she had this funny book. And I said, okay. And just my wife, I sat down in shape. You go see the princess, the little Chippy wants to see the princess. You know, she puts on that outfit, the princess. So now Hani was with her daughter yesterday, I guess going to see the princess. And you know, the princess stands there and all the kids come kind of around the way, yes. And she's wearing this like whatever sort of and she's carrying some scepter, and then the whole thing is if you're left for the next day, she's not a princess. So this is one of the saddest things in life. That anyone wants to the Ram Shadusha, leaving Disneyland, all of these things, it's all emotional thought really hurts. That there are experiences of holiness that you have in life. There are moments of inspiration for some people in spouse, for somebody else that's at the Kosa. For somebody else, it's just a sweet performance like this, whatever. It's a class, it's a teacher, it's a certain place in the Shemayim. It's a certain place where the coastal is a spot that I'm going to some kid, has a certain feeling, a certain touch, a certain smell. And you lose it. And you begin to feel sometimes what's the practice. I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. So now I had a lovely davening today. It was a great davening. And, you know, I feel inspired. But I know that next year, I'm going to have to go back and be in school or at work or go back to non-princess life. And it hurts. And one was the practice. So there's a famous marshal from the Kabbalah that goes back a long time. He's trying to give the knowledge of sources as well. It can be shown in dreams. The being a marshal of a dark, rainy night, like tonight, a dark, rainy night, and the persons in the forest. No, the dark in the forest is Mamish, Mamish dark. And he's not able to see anything at all. And he's terrified. He doesn't know where he is. There are sounds from animals. It's a path. He's frightened. And then all of a sudden, there's a flash of lightning, thunder lightning. And there's a flash of lightning. And for a split second, everything is bright, right? For a split second, the person's able to see the surroundings, to get a sense of where he is. And even though a moment later, not a moment, a second later, it's pitch dark. He's in the darkness again. But for that instant that he was able to see the sky light up and to take a look around him, he's able to have a certain sense, a certain feeling of direction, of where to go. That there's some place out there. Because of that moment he had when everything was lit up. And the Rishon used this motion as a way to describe how we should feel and what we should think about in those higher moments of life. The times in life when there's a feeling of great excitement. The time of life is a feeling of great connection to Hashem. So what's the task of Anyway, we're going to be back in the dark. If the next day or the next moment I'm shifted again, I'm not seeing any prophecy, I have no vision. I'm just complaining about dumb things in life. So what was the point of that moment of life? Because when you have that clarity, and I'm hoping that many of you, all of you, are having moments like that this year, in your learning, in your friendships, in your davening, the things feel clearer than they used to be, and you have a sudden sense of the importance of there needs to be a gym, the importance of connections, the people that you love. The Zohar Kodesh brings a pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Pei Tes. In Perek Pei Tes, the pasuk Yud, it says, "After Moishe begayus hayom, the soigalav after the sharfe, atar Moishe begayut." Means that Hashem Yisroch rules over the ocean. The ocean is powerful. The soigalav after the sharfe. The simple chakra puzzle means that even though the waves are huge and they rise up and it looks like the waves are going to take over the world, after the shabchein, the Masudas and the Dak and the Farshim say, Hashem calms the waves down and they stop at the shore. And everybody's okay. Sometimes it doesn't, but usually it does. The Sogal after the shabchein. That's the simple chakra puzzle. The Zohar Kodesh, Rabbi Shimon says, listen to this. Rabbi Shimon says, look at the waves. They're so powerful, they're so strong. They rise up to the heavens, mamish. And they thought they were going to be able to conquer the world. But each and every time the waves falls, they smash down by the shore. It dies. It loses that moment of being the princess. It falls. So even though it falls, the Zohar says, after Moshe begeus hayom, the Sogal of Atas the Shabchein, and the Zohar learns that the Shabchein doesn't mean just to calm down the waves. It means the word the Shabbeach. What does the word mean, the Shabbeach? No? The praise. And Atas the Shabchein means that Hashem praises the waves. Hashem's Baruch has machis from the waves. And Hashem's Baruch says, even though you were unsuccessful, you were not able to continue on, even though at the end you were thrown down to the ground, and you weren't able to continue on in that journey that you had started, when you were rising up to the heavens, you were smashed on the shore. Despite that failure to continue, despite the fact that you couldn't sustain the greatness of that moment, of that height that you were holding by, nevertheless, you pick yourself up and you push yourself and you try again. So Hashem praises the way. The Sogala of Atas Eshabchem. Hashem praises the person who has that time in life where she experiences something great and is able to rise to a certain place even though it's unsustainable at that time. She can't continue to live that way. And all the madrigas that she was feeling, that he was feeling, that she had reached a certain level. And whatever that is in Kedusha, in the Amidas, in Tefillah, whatever that is, in Kedusha Tadibur, each one of you is working hard. And then there's that feeling that I couldn't sustain. And I, like a wave, I fall down. And I'm not able to continue on with that journey. Kadosh Baruch Hu has the deepest, deepest admiration and love The Jew, who after that time that he falls, picks himself up again. You know why he picks himself up again? Because he remembers what it was like to be at the time. He remembers what it was like to be when there was a feeling of closeness, Hashem, when things were clear. See, even though it's true that the maid servant, after Kriyas Yom Suf, after the splitting of the sea, she no longer had prophecy, and she was just a simple maid servant, but she wasn't just a simple maid servant. She was a maid servant with memories of greatness. And if she's sincere and if she's real, like all of you are, it means that even though I might crash on the shore, even though it might not work out for now, but I remember what it was like when there was that flash of lightning in the night in the forest, and for a moment I saw everything, and it was clear to me what the tachlis of my life. That I don't want to spend the rest of my life in some chat group. I don't want to spend the rest of my life just looking in store windows, not there's any moment stuff. I don't want to spend the rest of my life forgetting the tachlis of why God put me here. Even though I can't hold on to the experience, but the memory of what it was like when I was attacked by that wave, when I was riding the wave, and when there was that flash of lightning in the darkness, that memory is something that I don't let go. And I'm determined, no matter what's going to happen to me in life, no matter how many times I crash, I remember what it was like, and I'm going to pick myself up, and I'm going to try from Aleph again and again and again. You know, I have now around 45, 46 guys that leave me a text message every day. And the text message is just a number. Sometimes it says 10, sometimes it says 12, sometimes it says, Rebbe, it wasn't good, Rebbe. I messed up. Because I have all these cheder, tell me in the morning, but we have this arrangement that many of us struggle to overcome certain bad habits. I don't want to talk about what they are, but habits that are not good, that are not holy. And they're trying. So we keep in touch. And each one sends me, this is just a number, it says day 12, and they send back a message like thumbs up or revolver, or you're a Gibor. I have all these different things I send back. Deeper. And then sometimes I don't hear from a person for like 2-3 days, and I'll send a question mark, are you okay? And I'll get something like, oh, you're ready. And I'll say, Kibo, Odakam, Achil. And I felt so good, like you were clean, and it was good, and you were holy, and you were pure. Odakam, you've been amazed. You've been amazing. To pick themselves up, machamot again. The story of Galilah, the Shabbatim, the Gershom has for Jews like this is our generation. The story of Galilah, the Shabbatim. Sometimes you're working on not speaking Lashon. Again, there's something really juicy when it comes your way. And you just couldn't let go. It was a flesh of Lashon Hara. You know that? No. It was a flesh of Lashon Hara. And you couldn't hold yourself back. And the answer is you feel terrible. You know, like, I worked so hard on this, I went through Shemus Elosha, I carried with me any picture of America, and held me Shemus Elosha. And you know, and I went to Babylon for this, I said, Shir Shim, 40 days straight in the coast, I said, Kiddush Alumni, I lived at Shabbos Kings, I did all these different things. I went to Abuka, I quit back here. And then it's you know, once upon a time there was another word, I never come back to it. Have you heard? Tiny little savior. You didn't learn any issue. When you turn the pages, you start to even get there. You know, he has an interesting name, Chabaku. Did you ever hear of a Jew named Chabaku? I remember once there was a scribe that I heard, you know, I didn't mean it, someone told me, there's a Chabaku. You know what he has that name? Amazing name. And the Lachim Bay is very valid. I'm sure everyone can learn. So you know that the Isha Shemanis has an amazing guest. Who is the guest? Elisha Hanan. She took care, she helped him out. And here's this great man. wanted to help her. She was a woman that had many children. And he gave her a promise in the name of Hashem. His high that next year at this time, at what? Who knows? Koveges Ben. Not that you're just going to have a boy. Next year at this time, at Koveges Ben. What does that mean? You're going to be hugging, embracing, and holding your little baby. The Kachaya. And that's what happened. But she had a beautiful little boy. And you can imagine the simcha, one of the biggest, biggest simchas to have a child in, especially for someone who couldn't have children. And it's impossible to measure such a simcha. But something terrible happened. What happened to that child? He died, right? The baby died. And these are shamans. Why would Hashem do such a thing? I had this child. All of a sudden my life became filled with meaning and purpose. I became a mother. And the child was the apple of my eye. And then Hashem took the child away from me. So your mother Elisha couldn't beg with you. He made a promise to her. And I'm not going to do the story because we all know what happened. But the Navi who is able with Hashem's help, of course. And Hashem made an ace of the Navi Elisha, and he warmed the child up somehow. He embraced the child, and the child came from the dead back to life. Therefore, the name Chabakuk is what? There are two chibukim, two embraces. First, he was embraced by his son, by his mother when he was born, and she had him. But then the child died. And the second kibbutz was the kibbutz of the Navi Elisha. And the Navi brought the child back to life. And he was fierce and amazing. And therefore the child has the name Chabakuk, which has in it ki'il of the word kibbutz, double, Chabakuk. Because that means that the first time that you experience that something great in life, that's the first kibbutz. Like anything now, you're learning, you're growing, you're seeing things a certain way. You're at a time in life, you're in a place where that's that first book of something really, really good. Something that's filled with darkness. But then it often happens, like after PSL, something after Myron has seen that. That feeling dies, just like a baby died. And the Isha Shonam is crying and screaming. How is it possible to have that child back? And we wonder often in life, people get married, they stand under the chuppah, everything was so beautiful, they're mamish in love, and they get in love till 120, and then 6 months later, they're killing each other. I shouldn't write, I deal with this all the time. 6 months, sometimes it's right after Shabbat, sometimes it's during Shabbat. They're already killing each other. And she's crying, he's crying, and she's killing him, and he's killing her. And the question is there any way that this is going to be able to come? What was it, the chuppah? Is there any way for it to come back to life? It's dead. It's gone. The feeling is over. It's never going to be again. And sometimes tragedy in life, in those relationships, the relationship ends. But when it comes to our relationship with Hashem Baruch Hu, and even when it comes to human relationships for the most part, even when that first experience dies, that time is over, and the darkness sets in and the wave crashes on the shore, but since you tasted the sweetness of that experience, and you cried to Hashem, and you asked Hashem to bring it back, and you work hard to try to come back to that moment of clarity, and Hashem Baruch Hu will help you to have your chabakuk in life. Because that's the way of this world. And that's how Hashem Baruch Hu made us in such a way. That it's almost impossible to live up to that kneeling here. It's impossible to live up to what it was by the chuppah that first time. But then we work hard with somebody. And you have the Lord, you married the right time, the wonderful tzaddikim. And that husband, even though he's feeling disappointed because he's not the guy he thought he was on the hook, he says to you, that, you know what, honey, not the girl I thought you were either. And, you know, it's the first time like, he sees you without makeup. Is my wife in your place? I'm not sure what you're doing here. Yeah, there's a rude awakening in life. The chuppah is how it's taken. And it ends. But then Hashem's God says to you, you know what? Now it's time for you to roll up your sleeves and to work hard to making it into a good marriage. And you remember the chuppah is sweet and he does love you. And you love him. And some of the things in life that come in the way that I'm rolling, that makes you cry, that makes you angry. And Shakar Kabadara forgets a little way of happiness. You're able to fight against that emotion. You're able to have, over the course of your marriage, many, many, many more beautiful moments of Chabakut. Many beautiful moments. So it's Eric Lushai. The exclusive answer to the Rishon. The Rishon is a very, very, very deep holy yogurt. But it's a yogurt that we don't understand yet, really, what it is until Mashiach will come. These days that seem to be not so important, but very, very, very weak days. The Rishon is such a strange thing. There's a custom that's brought down by a son, sign of very strong words. You have Spanish girls here? Oh, Hashem. All right, don't do all of it. The Sadim have such beautiful and holy and come to do this. The Sadim are able, they didn't let go of Eretz Yisrael, no matter where they went, they were closer to me than the Ashkenaz and Eretz Yisrael. They held on to Eretz Yisrael. The Sadim have the Seder of Tusha and receive them also. Seder of Tusha. But it's such a strange thing. You take some delicious fruit, and it's a celebratory fruit. It's especially weird when you're far away from Israel, you're in New York, and it's 26 degrees out, that's what it is today in New York. It's freezing cold. This winter was around this cold. And it's 26 degrees out, and you go and you get some fruit that you have from Israel, and it's so unbelievably fresh and sweet and good. And you look and you make a broth, and you sing a little song, Tu B'Shvat Yichiyach, right? And then you go outside, and it's like ice and snow. It's dark at 2 or 3 in the morning. So what's the Tubisha? What kind of Tubisha? What kind of custom is that? Why was the Tubisha later on in the spring and the summer? Everything was green, everything was alive. Quite cold and dreary and snowy and wet and dark. Why? Why? So the answer is the Tishan's daughter says that each and every one of us take a taste of something sweet. Taste. Right now, let me eat the whole thing right now. But once you have that taste of something sweet, you want to have it again. And you look forward to the day that you have it again. And then Hashem says, go out into the world. But carry with you the warmth and the memory of Tubisha and that sudden appearance of the spring of life, of when the world comes back to life. And the winter, when it's freezing, everything is bare, everything is dead. There's no life at all. So each one of us is like that tree, is like a fruit. And to come back to life, to the winter, to the suffering, the difficulties of the winter. But to remember what it was like. To remember what it was like. And we know that to the Shabbat is a day of Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah Yilanus is the same Rosh Hashanah the tree. The Tzaddikim split down the main storm, the Diva Yoda. Sabor, Susi, and Lenin spoke about this, other Tzaddikim. The Rosh Hashanah is a time, regular Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei. The Rosh Hashanah is a time that Hashem's God judges us. Judges the children, judges us. His children, we're being judged for everything that we do after Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei. And Rosh Hashanah is Kubashah, Rosh Hashanah we love us. The same way he says that Hashem. Another Tzaddikim say that Hashem is judging the parents, not the children. He's judging parents. You know, children are called fruit. The Blessed Angel Tzadikim told us children are called the truth, the parents of the Jews. And the parents are being judged not for their actions, not Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei. They're being judged how much you love your children, the truth. How much have you given to the truth? How much of yourselves have you given to the truth? And the Rebbe from Satan said an unbelievable thing. He said that Hashem is also a parent, right? Hashem is our father. Hashem is our father. Kiyocha Hashem is being judged. Now the book is right, because I heard it said. But Kiyocha Hashem himself is judging himself and is being judged. Each one of us has the right on Tuba Shah to say, Rabbi Shalom, I feel like you're trying to have truth. I feel like I'm not the person that you want me to be. That my fruit is not good. And I'm asking you as my father, as my parent. I'm asking you to help me to grow. I beg you to help me to grow. So I'm going to tell you a story. Story from Rabbi Nachman of Sofia. You all heard of Rabbi Nachman of Sofia? Nachman of Hanukkah. The 7 days of creation, the life of the 7 days of creation. Nachman has stories promised to keep us alive until Mashiach comes. The most famous of the stories is the stories of the Bible. Of the beggars. And the last verse we don't have this story. That's only going to be told when Mashiach comes. But there's a tiny little story for Menachem. Each one of the stories you can write books, and many books have written to explain the Menachem's story. There's a tiny little story that I'm sure many of you know. Might not know it's a Menachem's story. To make it very simple, there was a Jew that worked for a harvest, a landowner. And he worked very, very hard. The landowner was a hard person, and he was hard on the Jew. And when they used to, in the winter, wherever they went, so they would stop at different inns to rest, then the Jew used to call the Jew Moshe. And Moshe would sit on the side and take care of the horse outside, and give him something. Him and the horse would give him something to eat. And he'd take out from his bag the fruit or something. But the paras, the landowner, the rich guy, he would sit in the restaurant and they'd have delicious food. And in those days, the most expensive and delicious wines were produced in Hungary. Could be even that. That part of the world, especially there's a place Tokai, a town, many Jews there. The wine there, the grapes are very delicious. And they were in a place that was obviously was the kosher wine there. And this particular time, the landowner, he was sitting with his friends, they were eating and drinking this expensive wine. And the landowner, the guy, he had some rachmanis on Moshe, and he said, Moshe, this wine, this Bible's here, kosher wine. Would you like to have some of this Tokai wine? And Moshe couldn't believe it. He had drank such expensive wine. And he was very excited. And he opened the bottle. Because he can't drink the bottle was open. He had his own bottle. He had some of this wine. He managed to never tasted anything like it in his life. Such wine. And he gave me wine. Time went by, months, years, he didn't know how to work for that person. And Moshe, this Moshe would be in many different places in the world. And he'd be with other people, they would say, Moshe, you want to join us for having some delicious wine? And he'd always say, okay, listen, Terry, you're having wine, but it's not Hungarian wine. I have Hungarian wine. You know, and he would drink with them, he would taste it, and he'd say, who Moshe would he say? And he would say, it's not good, but it's not Hungarian wine. You can't fool. I once had a very life. Those are Rabbi Nachman's story. De voormiddag en daar heb ik al gezien. She might not all right now be so deep, but don't let the world fool you. The national gave them to drink and dairy and wine. Do you understand what it means to you? The national said, don't let the world fool you. After you've tasted of my wine that I gave you, the world is all going to trick you. The world's not going to fool you anymore. You already had a taste of dairy and wine. Now the story of this story is such a sweet ending to this. 3 years ago, in Yeshiva, there was a group of 10th graders, and I was asked to speak to the 10th graders. I'm not good at that. To talk to that grade, you have to have a special choir to talk to them. It's still very, very much in the eye rolling thing, you know, it's very hard. And I didn't come to the Yeshiva to talk to 10th graders, not that I looked like, I wish I could, I'm not good at it. I didn't talk to my own kids until like 18, so I can't talk to 10th graders. So, they asked me to come speak to these kids, and I said, I'm not good at that, it's not together. So I said, no, this is a special group. So I guess what's so special about these boys? They said, on holiday, Yeshiva told me they were part of the exchange program, but they came there to start the literature, and they were living in Yeshiva, in the bush called the Brachayim. And some Israeli boys came from the Brachayim, and they were in Yeshiva. They made an exchange. So who are these boys? These are the boys that came back here from the river. They're all depressed, and they're all sad to be back in Washington Heights. And Rabbi Fleas, they asked me, can you go and give the guys some prison? So I walk into the class. Usually in that grade, that age, you know, you have the doctors, pitfalls, and everything going on. And they were like real serious, and they stood up, and they were very serious. And I was looking at them, and I said, boys, did you ever hear Hungarian wine? I just had a thought of that story that I just told you. So all the boys looked at each other, like they knew. I was amazed, they looked at each other. And they said, you heard of them? They were like, sure, yeah. I said, how did you do that? They said, we had a rabbi from the Brachayim that told us the story before you left. And not only that, but this rabbi is a musical, and yet he plays the guitar, and he put us in India. And he put the story to a song. Which I'm now not going to sing to you. He put the story to a song. And I asked, is this a song? Very something made a song. He said, yeah. He said, no, let me hear the name. And they all did this one, and found this cute little boy. And I said, you must be a Balaam and Ivy, because everybody's looking at you. What's your name? He says, whatever, Ivy. Okay, Ivy. He said, no, I'll start singing. The guys love you. And these little boys, they started singing. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, they're like, their eyes closed, shut them. And they opened their eyes and said to them, I help you. You know the story of Hungarian wine and the Hungarian digging. And you had a drink of Hungarian wine when you were there to sell, right? I said, yeah, it's hard to be back. It's hard to be back. After Hasina, you have to be a sound, it's hard to be back in the trenches there. It's hard to be back in the city, in this life, you know, like San Diego. It's hard to be back. Well, and you worry that like, you're not going to be able to keep up what you were. And you worry that you're going to go back to your little girlfriends. And you worry that you're going to, whatever. And you're not going to be able to hold on to what was in the bush. And you're going to look around, you're going to lose it. Is that right? So she said, that's what you're ready to look at. So I said, Hashem gave you this because you had a taste of Hungarian wine. You tasted something very fine. You had some clarity. It's not usual for 10th grade to be exposed to that. You had that lightning in the darkness. Don't let the world fool you. You tasted the real thing. Don't be fooled. You might fool. You might get messed up. You might have difficult days. You might be a shifcha, more than a shifcha. But you tasted them here in one. And don't let the world fool you. So I don't know. I don't know what's here, or I have something. I need to say, Hashem. and maybe some of those who are sure. But the message that I'm trying to impart to you, and I'm sorry I'm taking so long with you, is you're tasting hunger, each in your own way. Don't let the world fool you. Don't let the world fool you. And if you find yourself one day, you'll be back lying down for sure, when you're beginning the way you've crashed, and you think, well, I'm not the person I thought I was, it was all made to be. That whole thing that I had in seminary, and the whole time you shine all the inspiration, was stand in the ice, there's the immense illusions, there's an Irish cat, there's nothing, you're standing it up. It wasn't. It was Hashem giving you the taste of Hungarian wine. And your job is, for the rest of your lives, to roll up your sleeves and work hard. In your Yiddishkeit, in your Hashem, in your marriages, in your Hashem, in your kibbutz with your children. To be able to dip back into that, and not just at that wine, to taste it again and again and again, and not be fooled by the world. The world is mamish, mamish, and vivid. So easily. The practice of being here is not that you're necessarily going to remain princesses. You come back and you look in the mirror, not a princess. But the practice is to drink of Hungarian wine. So I'm going to give a brother to the teachers as well. I don't know if any of the teachers here too. I don't know. If any of the teachers are here, they sit on the floor without a shame. And those are the only ones that are committed. So the teachings, I give you also a bracha. I give you a bracha, each and every one of you, that you should be able to give the girls a taste of Hungarian wine. That you yourselves should be able to drink from that cup. And the sort of giving your students to drink from that. That you should be able to drink from that until 120. To share with your children, and I shall each and every one of you, with your children and the future, with your grandchildren. And you should be able at that time to see God and I mention in that cup of wine. And the Shia comes in the week of Kubisha, the end of time, the Gulashan, the week of Samaritan, and the Amen.